Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Visions of the Past, a show that brings you news and discoveries from around the world and how it relates to paganism. Now here's your host, William Brigley.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Visions of the Past. I'm your host, William Brigley. As usual, my intent on the show is to encourage people to conduct self-research from reliable sources, and most of all, become aware of the true stories of our ancestors. This is my driving force behind Visions of the Past. In each episode, I will be exploring archaeology, anthropology, and other such fields and how it relates to paganism. Following each episode, I post the links to the sources to where I obtained my information from on my Facebook page. This allows you, the listener, to be able to dive deep into any topic I discuss on the show and take a more in-depth look. As for tonight's topic, we travel back to Peru and visit the Inca civilization. Tonight we'll be looking at their understanding of astronomy and the significance it held to their ancient beliefs. So who were the Inca? The Inca were the South American Indians who, at the time of the Spanish conquest in 1532, ruled an empire that extended along the Pacific coast and Andean highlands from the northern border of modern Ecuador to the Mali River in central Chile. They called this land the Land of Four Quarters. They established their capital at Cusco, Peru, in about the 12th century and began their conquests in the early 15th century. Within roughly 100 years, they had gained control of an Andean population of about 12 million people, which spoke many different languages. In common with other Andean cultures, the Inca left no written records. The legend of the founding of Cusco begins with the first Inca by the name of Manco Capac, which is estimated to have happened around 1100 CE. According to the legend, four brothers emerged from Lake Titicaca. During a long journey, all but one disappeared. Manco Capac, the sole survivor, came up the valley from the south, following instructions from the sun god. Upon arrival, he threw his golden staff into the Cusco earth, and when the staff disappeared, this suggested the land was fertile, thus he founded the city. It is generally agreed, and archaeologically confirmed, that Inca history actually begins about 1200 CE and continued through 13 ruling Incas, ending with the death of Atahualpa at the hands of the Spaniards in 1533. Cusco is nestled in a mountain valley 10,000 feet above sea level. As I mentioned, it is the center of the Inca world. The Spanish were not the only thing to cause the fall of the Inca, but perhaps just the final blow to an already devastated civilization. I say this because if we look at Huayna Capac, who was the last indisputable Inca, he came to power in the year 1493, the year after Columbus landed in America. Huayna Capac died in 1527 and was said to have had 500 sons. In his opinion, he felt that the Inca Empire was too large to be governed only from Cusco. Succession to the Inca-ship was immediately disputed between his sons, Huascar, residing in Cusco, and his favorite son, Atahualpa, living in Ecuador. This caused a 5-year-long civil war between them, which decimated the empire prior to the Spanish invasion. 1527 also saw Francisco Pizarro appearing briefly at Tumbes on the northwest Peruvian coast and then sailing away, leaving behind two of his men. Shortly afterward, Ecuador was devastated by a disease assumed to be smallpox brought by one of them, so another significant blow to the civilization. On May 13, 1532, Pizarro returned and took over Cajamarca. Upon doing so, he sent out an invite for Atahualpa to visit them in the city, which was walled on three sides, and to come unarmed. No one has yet been able to explain satisfactorily why Atahualpa allowed himself to walk into an ambush. But this is where the Spanish annihilated them over the course of about 30 minutes. That is the real history as to how the Inca were finally defeated. No huge raging battle, no glory, just a simple ambush. When we come back, we're going to explore some of their religious beliefs and later their understanding of astronomy. We'll be right back, everyone.
We'll be right back.
are listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was our latest band to join us here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and their amazing song, Bambula. You are listening to Visions of the Past. Before the break, we were discussing the Inca. We covered the founding legend and how expansive their population was, and the demise of their civilization. The Inca religion combined features of animalism and the worship of nature gods. And like most cultures I've covered here on the show, they were polytheistic in nature. Being polytheistic, the Incas had an immense amount of deities or gods. They lived in heaven and on earth, and each of them had a purpose which determined its hierarchy. The Inca population believed that some gods had a human behavior pattern. They felt hatred, love, compassion, or any other human feeling. Incas believed that natural phenomena were caused by gods, so it was important to keep them happy or disasters could happen. Holy places, or temples known as huacas, were the places where Incas made their offerings to the gods. The creator deity of Incan mythology was the god Viracocha. He was both the god who created the world and also a man who traveled the earth doing extraordinary deeds. Viracocha created the world and the sky with all its stars, and he brought the sun and the moon out of an island in Lake Titicaca to light it. He then went to Tiwanaku and formed people and animals out of clay. According to Incan mythology, after traveling through the country instructing his people, Viracocha set off across the Pacific from the shores of Ecuador, walking on the waves. He was eternal and created everything, including other deities. Unlike other deities, Viracocha is not represented in nature. The three principal gods under Viracocha were Inti, the sun, Ilapa, the thunder or weather god, and Mamaquila, the moon. There are many legends on Viracocha. One is in the form of a flood myth. Yes, their legends contain one as well. The legend goes that Viracocha created a flood and destroyed the people around Lake Titicaca. He saved only Manco Capac and Mama Ocelo so that they could learn from him and bring civilization to the world. Afterwards, Manco Capac and Mama Ocelo founded the Inca civilization. Next, we have their sun deity and the most important god in the Inca civilization, Inti. He was the god of agriculture. Being sun worshippers, Inti was represented as a golden disc with rays and a human face in the center. He was the supreme god and the father of the Sapa Inca, who represented him on earth and shared his sacredness. Although the priests and the chosen women served all the gods, the women were referred to as the virgins of the sun, and the shrines as sun temples. One of the most important festivities celebrating the sun was the Inti Raymi, which took place on June 24th during the winter solstice. Mama Quilla was the moon and the sun's wife, sister, and mother of the Incas. She was represented by the Coya. Mama Quilla was believed to protect women and was worshipped along with Inti. In addition to her, we have Ilapa, the god of weather, thunder, and war, Ikeko, god of wealth, Mama Koka, goddess of the sea, Cheska, goddess of dawn and dusk and protector of young girls, Zera Mama, goddess of grain and corn, Coco Mama, goddess of health and happiness, Supe, god of death, Mama Paca, goddess of the earth, and many, many more. To the Inca, shamanism was just as important. In Incan society, shamans were considered to be spiritual leaders who cured people and predicted natural disasters. They were very well-respected individuals, and for centuries passed the knowledge of animals and healing plants and how to apply it to the sick down to the next generations. Like shamans from other cultures, they too communicated with the other world through the use of hallucinogenic drugs. By inhaling a powder from a cactus through a hollowed animal bone, they were able to put themselves in altered states of consciousness. This allowed them to interact with the spirit world and make prophecies about natural disasters. Because of this, they were seen as the messengers between the human and the spirit worlds. Even to this day, shamans are still important healers in Andean society. Now that we have established some of the deities of the Inca and some shamanistic practices, we're going to take a quick song break, but when we return, we'll explore their knowledge of astronomy. So let's hear a little Darn the Bard and his famous song, Cauldron Born. We'll be right back, everyone.
Sunset, moonrise, and see how the land is bathed in silver hue. You feel so lonely. Come with me and let me show there are others just like you. Who feel the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. Hear the call of our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this dark and cold, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. See her raised high to the moon. Chanting words, a charm, a spell of power, a witch's rune. He calls to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. He calls to his ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew, and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. She said when he was just 17, your future I'll tell you, every thread and turn, if there to be seen. She took his hands, tracing the line, searching for patterns and looking for signs. Your life a construction, one day you will see. Through the illusion and into the dream. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew, and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. So we stand on this hill, shadows are cast by the moon, chanting words, our charm, our spell of power, our witch's rune. We call to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. We call to our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Taste of the cauldron's brew, and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. Oh lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew, and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. You're the cauldron born. Cauldron born, oh, with a cauldron.
are listening to Visions of the Past with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Darn the Bard and his song, Cauldron Born. For a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network and to learn more about our hosts, visit spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And for our listeners out there, our shows air at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and are scheduled as follows. On Tuesday nights, we have Reverend Terry's Power Hours. On Thursdays, we have Under a Shady Tree. On Fridays, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. On Sunday, we have Sacred Divergence Radio. And on Monday, you're back with me again for another episode of Visions of the Past. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to tonight's episode and to those who listen to the archive. We are discussing the astronomical knowledge of the Inca. Besides being a polytheistic civilization, the Inca had a vast knowledge of the heavens and tracked astronomical events for things like agriculture and timekeeping. In fact, the Inca state capital of Cusco is built around their lunar stellar calendar and correlates to a number of astronomical alignments and events. An example is the orientation of structures to the rising sun at the solstices. The Inca referred to the brightest stars as Chasca. The Chasca included the planets that could be seen with the unaided eye, such as Mars and Venus. They called the dimmer stars Culior, which means star. The Inca recognized several groupings of stars that were also noted and named by the Europeans, such as the Pleiades and Orion's Belt. To the Inca, objects in the heavens had a connection with earthly life. Each earthly animal had a corresponding animal star or group of stars in the heavens that protected that animal. The Pleiades star group was the original source of these protecting stars, which is why the Pleiades had special meaning for the Inca. The Pleiades were also important to the Inca's calendar cycle for planting. They also regarded the Milky Way as a central object in their astronomy. Called Mayu, it was the celestial counterpart of the local Vilcanota River. The identification was so deep that they believed that the water flowing on the earth was the same water flowing in the celestial river and coming back to the earth in the rainy season. Unlike other civilizations that mostly saw patterns in just the stars known as constellations, the Inca also saw patterns in the dark areas of the Milky Way. Gary Urton, who is an anthropologist and professor of pre-Columbian studies from Harvard University and a specialist in the field of native peoples and cultures of North and South America, was able to prove this and identify a number of the dark cloud constellations. Some of these include Serpent, between the star Adhara and Canis Major in the Southern Cross, Toad, near the Southern Cross, Tinamou, below Southern Cross, Lamma between Southern Cross and Epsilon Scorpio, Baby Lamma below Mother Lamma, Fox between the tail of Scorpio and Sagittarius, and a second Tina Mao in Scutum. The reference I will include on my page after the show contains a detailed diagram depicting these dark areas on page 9 of the document. The Inca also had astronomical observatories. One of these was called the Temple of the Sun within the Machu Picchu complex. This semicircled structure contained 3 windows. The winter solstice could be observed through the main window, and when the light rose over the surrounding mountains and illuminated directly into the window, this indicated that it was time for sowing and harvesting. Ironically, on the same day, the constellation Scorpio could also be seen. Coincidentally, the entire Machu Picchu complex also takes on this shape, which further solidifies the importance of stellar observation for the Inca. As a matter of fact, many rivers, sun pillars, and shrines have been found to be deliberately oriented to solstices, equinoxes, and constellations, at times even designed to directly reflect heavenly bodies or animals they saw in the stars. Perhaps there are many more mysteries awaiting us as we look deeper into the astronomical knowledge of the ancestors. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight and decide to tune in for next week's episode. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. We're going to finish off tonight with a song from our latest band, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and their song, Fanga. Good night, everyone. And may you blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.